Good morning, everyone. I call this meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhofer and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Haugenhofer, do you?
Yeah, I have a couple comments. First of all, two things. On October 12th, I went and I'm on the advisory council for the North Dakota State University Upper Great Plains Transportation Institute and heard reports. And the one thing I want to just emphasize what I heard from this was collaboration, which was really amazing to see, is all the collaboration that's going on with the studies and working together. But the one thing that came out was a collaboration between NDSU and UND on transportation studies. So that is really neat to see all the collaboration going on around the state. That evening was a banquet, and to listen to the young students who are in some capacity related to transportation and the scholarship winners, when you sit and read those bios and hear about them, I am very confident that we are going to be left in good hands with the youth coming up if they are a lot like that in what they are inspiring, what they're doing and inspiring to be. And just a final note, I was honored by my colleagues to be elected the chairman for the next 2 years of the Upper Great Plains Transportation Institute. So I look forward to serving in that capacity and see how I can help move some stuff along in the transportation issues in the great state of North Dakota. My final thing is, speaking of the University of North Dakota, how about those Fighting Hawks? And let me take you back to October 14th of this year. It started out, you know, maybe like some of you, a UND grad, like, dear God, let this be a close game. But my prayers were answered immediately from the kickoff. It went from the kickoff. UND was at full throttle, and they never let up. I mean, first quarter, you know, ran back 100 yards. Did you watch that, Randy? 100-yard kickoff return.
I listened to it.
It was just amazing. You know, they kicked it off. The Bison, the Sioux ran it back. The Fighting Hawks ran it back for a touchdown. I mean, I can recap play by play. But, you know, I can give you, at the end of first quarter, was 21-7 Hawks. The Bison came back in the second quarter. They had two scores. And then UND at 13 seconds left scored again. So we have 28-17 Fighting Hawks at halftime. Is this when you went outside, Randy, and did some farming?
I was actually outside the whole time, but
Oh, yeah. I bet you got a lot of work done. Well, and just, I mean, I hate to leave you at halftime because things continued on. Third quarter was kind of a slow, only with only one score by UND. He's not even paying attention, though.
I am. So, I'm just making sure you got it all right here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, check and verify. So at the end of third, it's the Fighting Hawks 35 and the Bison 17. Fourth quarter, UND comes out strong. The Fighting Hawks come out strong. Score, and then they kind of like have a little mercy on the Bison. They do let them score at the end. So the final score is 49 Fighting Hawks, the Bison 24. Sweet victory. So thank you for letting me do that, Randy. So maybe Julie has some finishing comments, and then we can do the pledge of allegiance.
Yes.
Well, thank you for that rundown. Great minds think alike. I had a couple highlights myself to mention from the game. So, as Sherry stated, you know, it was a record 7 touchdowns by UND at that game. The most points scored in this series since 1896 by UND. So North Dakota now holds a 63-50-3 series lead over North Dakota State, including a 35-22-2 lead at home. 13,091 fans attending the game, including myself, made it a sellout. It was the second largest crowd in North Dakota in the history of North Dakota against at the Alaris Center. And they have only been beaten once. That record was outdone by the 13,500 fans that witnessed the 2001 game against North Dakota State. I think that was. So, with that, all those findings of facts that Sherry laid out, I would like to propose that we hereby order today the Nickel Trophy Day at the Commission and celebrate this long-awaited return of the Nickel Trophy to its best home at UND. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. It should be there.
So, Randy, we want you to feel a part of the team.
The
the dress code. So we hereby give you this banner.
Well, thank you.
That completes my opening comments. Okay. Thank you.
With that being complete, I will just say that at NDSU, we tend to judge these things by national championships, which we have won 9 of in the last just over a decade. And I believe UND has won 0.
I think in just the overall national
since
championship,
we're doing,
we're still here.
Since we're looking at just like newer things, apparently your celebration lasted more than a week. The scores from this weekend were...
Cut the mic.
NDSU 52-7 victors. And UND was shut out 27-0. So
yeah, but we still have the Nickel Trophy. That's what today is all about.
Anything else of opening comments?
No, I don't have anything else. Thank you for indulging
us. Would all three of us with our diverse educational backgrounds join, as well as everyone else in the room, join me in pledging allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The beautiful thing is that we all agree on.
Yeah. And rightfully so, yeah.
Okay, we have... 2 items on the consent calendar. I would move approval of those plus the previous meeting minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Commissioner Hagenhofer.
Thank you. I have 3 items in my portfolio today. So, first one, I move the commission suspend the rates and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company Renewable Resource Cost Recovery 2024 rates, case number PU23-312.
Second.
Thank you. On September 20th, 2023, Northern States Power NSP filed a request for approval of its 2024 renewable energy rider. The purpose of this rider is to recover from NSP North Dakota Electrical customers cost of renewable energy generation not presently reflected in the retail rates. In this filing, NSP would recover costs of 4 previously approved projects, and please note, with no new projects proposed. This rider would be applied to all energy billed for each customer effective January of 2024. The rate would decrease from 2.557 cents per kilowatt to 2.062 cents per kilowatt. As a result, this rate change, a residential electrical customer consuming 750 kilowatts would experience a bill decrease of approximately 37 cents per month. So with this notice of opportunity, persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by December 8th. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission reduce the application fee to $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Electrical Service Agreement Applied Digital Approval, case number PU-23-322.
Second.
Thank you. On October 2nd, MDU filed an application for approval of a second electrical service agreement with Applied Digital Corporation. The agreement provides that the customer will take electricity service from MDU under the new high-density contracted demand response rate 45 schedule. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by December 5th. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing. And I just would like to say, you know, this is their second request, as indicated. They're asking. these large loads bring with it some good base load, but also some maybe some challenges, and maybe challenges is a little too strong of a word, but we've got to be cautious with this to make sure that there's adequate capacity out there. So I don't know if it'll be a formal hearing, but I definitely, as a commissioner holding this portfolio, we will definitely have an informal with the company on it. This is big, and this is something that we really pay close attention to.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I will just say there's issues to be considered. I know we kind of use standardized language, but to be clear, at least my understanding, and then if we're not in agreement, then we should discuss it more, especially the first two. It almost sounds like we're opening a whole new rate case when we say that the value of MDU's property, used and useful, that we'll be looking at that, and then a just and reasonable rate for MDU. So if at least is my understanding that we are looking at their property to provide service to this user. We're not renewing a whole look at everything they have, and that we could grant them a different, either higher or lower, but a different rate of return on this, on whatever investment is necessary for this project than what they have for everything else. If I'm understanding that wrong, or different from you all, then we should discuss it more.
Is that covered in number 3, Randy? Where it says, for the service and convenience. Oh, wait, I was thinking that said for this customer. See. Never mind. It does seem more broad, but your understanding is how I see it, too.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in MDU Utilities Company Fuel Clause Adjustment Waiver Approval, case number PU-23-330.
Second.
On October 20th, the commission received a request from MDU for a temporary waiver from its fuel and purchase power adjustment rate 58 tariff provision, which requires MDU to file a rate adjustment when the amount of the change in such adjustment is at least 1 cent per kilowatt per hour. MDU requested this waiver as a result of significant excess power cost it has experienced in the month of August, September, and October. In the absence of the waiver, MDU's rate 58 would increase from the October 23 rate
of 2.886 per kilowatt to 4.2 per kilowatt for secondary service. MDU's proposal would forego the rate 45 adjustment necessitated by the tariff for the period of November 1, 2023 through March 31, 2024. This would allow MDU to recover the excess power cost in its annual true-up effective April 1, 2024. The annual true-up is collected over a 12-month period, thereby reducing the overall rate impact. Pursuant to North Dakota Century Code 490505, no tariff change can be made without a notice of at least 30 days to the commission. The commission may allow changes upon less than 30 days notice if shown good cause. The commission finds that granting the waiver is in the public interest as it will mitigate the rate impact to MDU customers. However, the commission believes that the under-collected balance shall be monitored by MDU and the staff monthly to ensure the excessive power costs do not continue throughout the upcoming heating season. The commission finds good cause to allow the temporary tariff waiver, and we find it is good cause. So I support this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Randy, did you want to elaborate any more on this in terms of the SPP stuff or not?
Well, maybe just very generally.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that we really have totally the full picture and all the evidence to make certain statements.
Right.
But I will say, and I've been thinking about this a lot as I watched committee discussion downstairs yesterday and again today with adding dramatic size loads in a certain region. Now they're talking about another thing that's not far from the data processing center that we just talked about yesterday. But in this case now, over the years, I think most people have been kind of delighted to see the growth of economic activity in Northwest North Dakota. And with that, the oil and gas industry is enormous users of electricity. And that has grown and grown and grown, and a couple wind farms went up there and some gas plants, but they're limited in their ability to produce. And at times when either the gas plants are capped out or the wind, it's just not windy, we need to be able to energize that whole area. And then, you know, the final big one added on to it is another data processing center there. And I think that combination of things is having quite an impact here. And it's going to take hundreds of millions of dollars of transmission and many dozens, probably hundreds of miles of easements that are getting tougher and tougher to acquire in order to solve this problem. And that is the dilemma we have to be upfront about when we talk about economic development things. And, oh, this project is going here, that project is going there. They all bring some jobs. They all bring some tax revenues. It's all wonderful until you add a certain amount together and it gets to the point where now, finally, that RTO off there in the distance that not even 1% of the population even is aware of their existence, calls for the addition of hundreds of millions of dollars in the transmission in order to make this all work out, and then puts much of the cost of that transmission back on the ratepayers. That is kind of where I see us being at here, but I think there's a lot more to learn about causes and effects and solutions before I really know what to do about. That's why I'm going to vote for this order to just kind of hold off on this and continue to gather and study both both causes and solutions.
Thanks, Randy. I appreciate that, SPP. So just maybe to back up a little bit, MDU came to us with, it's that time to kind of relook at what the cost for fuel will be for the coming year. And their formula calls for a significant increase based on what we're seeing in terms of rates in the northwest corner of the state. And that's driven by a lot of what Randy just talked about. They have really high demand there because of all the industrial development. And it's got a high load factor, meaning it doesn't go up and down. It's steady. It's steady and it's high. And there isn't currently enough transmission to get in there, so there's some like congestion on the lines leading into that pocket, which creates kind of an artificially high price in that area. That price affects all MDU customers because it's set for the whole system, including the customers in other states. That, you know, they take the average of their whole system, and that's the price for everybody for the fuel cost. So what we're doing today is basically saying this is a significant departure from what we've seen in the past. We aren't exactly sure how long it will last. Maybe it'll sort itself out. Hopefully we'll be able to negotiate with SPP and MISO on some changes in how they calculate some of this stuff so that it's fleshed out. And so rather than go with what they're projecting to be a higher cost, we're keeping the same cost as last year for six until April or sooner, depending on how we're evaluating it every month. And we're going to see how those costs change over the course of the next few months. We don't want to get behind and end up having to, you know, sock customers with a kind of high catch-up rate. But we also don't want to raise the cost now if it's going to change. So that's basically what we're looking at. Meanwhile, there are some tools available for MDU to negotiate with MISO on some of how their rates are calculated and with SPP through Basin to see if there can be some tools put in place that are used in other areas, so these aren't like exceptionally different, that will help address this issue and mitigate the cost. So I think it's important for you to have that background just as we move ahead. You might be hearing more about this, but for now, there isn't a significant change that customers will see.
Is there any further discussion?
I think I just want to, one thing on one word you said, and I failed to even get into this at all when I talked about the SPP side of it, but you said the artificially high prices that we see up there quite a lot of the time. And I don't know, maybe technically it's right, but there's something about it. I don't like the term artificially mm-hmm. high prices, because to me, they're high prices for a very good reason. Those are times when the demand is high, and either some of those gas plants are inoperable, they're capped out on their hours, one or the other, and the wind is not producing. There's two wind farms up there. And so they intentionally set the prices high, because otherwise that transmission system is going to pull more energy through it in order to try to satisfy the need than what the system can handle, and it will destroy it and it will be out for months and months. And so they intentionally jack the prices up in order to try to force some users to back off on their mm-hmm. demand. And luckily there are some users who can do that, but here's the sad part. Most residential people, they don't have switches to do and things like that, and maybe they can't tolerate the living conditions of coming off the grid, so they are just forced to pay those high costs through their mm-hmm. to their utility. But anyway, those costs go up for a clear reason. I just want exercise.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. It's hard to, I don't know what you call the price that they set to, based on the capacity of the lines. You know, it's, it isn't that there, you know, there just isn't enough capacity to, as a contingency plan, basically. In case one of the lines went out, they wouldn't be able to serve it with the existing smaller line. So I do think it's important to note, too, that for MDU's customers, you know, they only have about 100 megawatts of load up there, so they really can't take care of this on their own. They don't have the big load customers to try to mitigate this themselves. So they're in a pretty tricky spot, just based on where they're at, the fact that they're kind of buying service in two markets. SPP is where they buy a lot of their transmission service, and they also have to pay rates to MISO, so there's a rate pancaking issue that is kind of at the heart of one of the things that I hope that can be changed and fixed. But that ultimately doesn't fix it. What fixes this permanently is, like Randy said, more transmission and more generation in that area.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but they chose to close their coal plant down. They had one. They chose to close it down rather than invest into the maintenance of it to keep it going, replace it with a little couple of rice, not rice burner, because I don't mean to imply that they burn rice. Like we used to joke about certain cars, reciprocal engines of some type. I can't remember what rice stands for, but they're not, they haven't, I would say, replaced the coal plant that they, I guess, replaced, for lack of a better word, but not as much.
We did agree with that, though.
We did. We were convinced.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
All right. I move the commission issue a notice opportunity for hearing and Otter Tail Power Company Amendment Laverne Wind Upgrade, setting application case number PU-23-176.
Second.
The gift that keeps on giving, all of Otter Tail's wind upgrades. Oh, my goodness. So on in September, Otter Tail Power filed an application to amend the commission's August 16th of this year order that we approved for the repowering of this facility. And in our original order, we had included a requirement that if Otter Tail Power did not get a waiver from one of the participating, one of the landowners that was within a setback that they couldn't infringe on, that they would not upgrade that tower. Since then, Otter Tail went back and looked and determined that they, in their view, that landowner is a participating owner, not a non-participating owner. So in Otter Tail's view, they don't need a waiver. So this, their request is to remove that requirement that they get a waiver from that landowner. So what we're doing today is just throwing this out there as a notice of opportunity for hearing. The issue to be considered in this proceeding is whether the proposed amendment that they're requesting is consistent with the requirements and criteria set forth in Chapter 4922. And comments and requests for hearings must be received by December 8th. And if deemed appropriate, we can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, let's see here. So I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company Ashtabula 1 Wind Upgrade Project, Barnes County Siting Application Case Number PU-23-252.
Second.
So on June 28th of this year, Otter Tail filed an application to amend their site certificate to repower 32 existing 1.5 megawatt GE turbines that had 77 meter blades with 91 meter blades, hubs, and gearboxes. The filing included requests for variances from some exclusionary requirements, including the, one and one-tenth the height of a turbine from property line of a non-participating landowner for four turbines, subject to Otter Tail getting those waivers, and the one and one-tenth the height of turbine plus 75 feet from the center line of a county roadway, subject to submitting approval from Barnes County. They also filed an application to request removal of the project's total nameplate generating capacity that was included in the 2009 original order. So we set up a comments and requests for a hearing deadline of September 15th. We received comments from the State Historical Society, the Department of DEQ, and Game and Fish have filed comments. So the upgraded project's total nameplate capacity would increase to 51.2 megawatts. They have an interconnection agreement for 48 megawatts, so that would still be kind of the maximum output that they'd be able to have unless they change that interconnection agreement. Of the all the 32 turbines will reuse existing 80-meter towers and the existing turbine foundations with reinforcement if needed. All the collection and communication systems and the permanent access roads will be the same. Because of the increased blade height, the total turbine tip height will be increased by 125.5 meters. The upgraded project activities will occur wholly within the site original site designated by the commission in 2008. So in terms of some of the impacts, they did modeling of the sound levels and determined that it may exceed the 45 decibels within 100 feet of five occupied residences. And they have obtained and filed with the commission waivers from three of those, and they will retain waivers from the remaining two, or they will install noise-reducing technology on the remaining two prior to completion. They did additional shadow flicker studies and determined that the project will be within the 30 hours per year or less at all the occupied residences. As I stated earlier, they are requesting waivers from the exclusion area for four landowners, and if they don't receive those, they will not upgrade the equipment on those turbines. And they also are seeking a waiver from Barnes County to be closer than the 75 feet from the center line of the county county roadway. And if they don't receive that, they won't upgrade that turbine either. So with those variances in place and assumptions, I think we've... one more remaining thing. The Otter Tail Power must complete an architectural survey for the upgraded project as requested by the State Historical Society. They may not begin construction until they obtain and file with the commission a letter from SHPO concurring that there are no architectural properties affected by the upgraded project or that any impacts have or will be mitigated in consultation with the SHPO. So with all that, those in place, I think this order is ready to go, and Otter Tail should be free to upgrade this facility with the larger turbine blades.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just to clarify, the additional SHPO study is because now these are going to stand taller, which if they were starting new would put them into a category requiring a larger area study in the first place, and that didn't happen with the first round because they didn't fall into that
category. Right. Thank you. Yeah, and it's for architectural, not cultural. So it's existing resources that are perhaps impacted by the view of the turbines. That's really what they're looking at.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. My next motion, I move the commission adopt the order in Wild Rose Pipeline Company Hawthorne Oil Transfer Quarter number 110 and route number 120, citing application case number PU-23-287.
Second.
So, Hawthorne Oil has filed with the commission a request to transfer a certificate number 110 and route permit 120 to issued to Hawthorne Oil to the Wild Rose Pipeline Company, LLC. Those companies have filed with us an affidavit. The Christopher Bollinger, president of Wild Rose, states that Wild Rose has the financial and technical qualifications to own and operate the facilities, and they agree to assume the rights and obligations and comply with the terms and conditions of certificate number 110 and route permit number 120 and all applicable commission orders pertaining thereto. So with those items in place and the staff reviewing all this, this transfer order is ready to go.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and now on to some new and, in my opinion, a little more interesting matters. I move the commission adopt the order in Dakota Natural Gas, LLC, Natural Gas Pipeline, Larimore and Arvilla, North Dakota Public Convenience and Necessity Case Number PU-23-300.
Second.
Thank you. So on August 31st, Dakota Natural Gas, LLC, filed an application for a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity to construct and operate a natural gas distribution system to serve Larimore and Arvilla, North Dakota, and their environs. I just like saying that. On October 6th, we issued a notice of opportunity for a consolidated hearing, providing until October 20th for receiving written comments or requests for hearing. No requests for hearing were received. So the notice identified four issues. Is there a need for this service? Is Dakota Natural Gas technically, financially, and managerially fit and able to provide the service? What is the effect on the other public utilities providing similar service? And is the proposed service adequate? So we had a informal hearing with Dakota Natural Gas and discussed these four issues. Is there a need for the service? Are they fit? How does it affect other services, and is the other utilities, and is the service adequate? And discuss all of these with Dakota Natural Gas. So in terms of, is there a need for the service? There are no gas utilities providing service in that area right now. The city of Larimore has provided franchise agreement. They provide a franchise agreement for Dakota Natural Gas, and the mayor wrote to us expressing their support for this and the importance that their community feels natural gas service would provide to their businesses and to their residences. So, number one, is there a need for the service? I think we got quite a lot of evidence that there is need for the service. Number two, is Dakota Natural Gas technically, financially, and managerial fit and able to provide the service? So Dakota Natural Gas is the company that is currently providing service to five other small northeastern North Dakota communities, including Drayton, Hillsboro, Mayville, Portland, so that's four, and now they want to do Larimore and Arvilla, so 5-6. So they have proven to us over the course of the last 3 or 4 years that they have figured out how to do this, provide this natural gas service in a safe and reliable and a pretty affordable way to those communities. And our staff doesn't have any concerns with what they're seeing and how Dakota Natural Gas operates. Going back longer than the last 5 years in North Dakota, they have a long history in Minnesota providing service to a number of different communities there. So Dakota Natural Gas has proven to be technically, financially, and managerially fit and able to provide the service. What is the effect on other public utilities providing similar service? Well, we talked about the impact that this could have on some of the propane dealers. None of the propane dealers provided any comments to us or concerns about this project, and we didn't receive any information from any other utilities with concerns. And then is the proposed service adequate? We looked at their plans. They intend to provide service with, they're tapping into an NSP line and providing a distribution system of 2, 4, and 6-inch plastic lines leading from the NSP line, which connects from the Viking line. And so they've worked out an arrangement with NSP to provide this service at a rate that they could, withstand and make the project economic. And they anticipate to provide approximately 320 customers with service in the first 2 years and then increase to approximately 430 customers within 5 years of operation. So having considered all of those factors, it overwhelmingly shows that they have met the requirements of the law to receive this public convenience and necessity approval. And I will just say, I think it's really great to have this company operating in North Dakota, because they have come up with a model for extending natural gas service to rural communities. It can make a really big difference between growing your community and not having a safe, reliable, affordable power service for industrial customers and local residents. And so it's great to have this company. And in addition to that, they were really active in the last legislative session and speaking on behalf of a new tax rebate or abatement that allows investments in this in their infrastructure a 15-year property tax, basically a waiver from property taxes for the first 15 years, which they said was instrumental in making this project economic. And their experience in serving other communities was, I think, quite instrumental in convincing legislators that was the right way to go, and also addressing the fact that, you're not really losing any money from that tax rebate, because you're taking away a tax that you wouldn't get if not for the service, because it wouldn't exist otherwise. So in the end, it's an investment in the communities that's helping to strengthen them. And we're seeing right now with this case, just a few months after the close of the last session, the difference that tax program is making. And so I tip my hat to the legislature for approving that and passing it, and hopefully they see the results of their work taking effect so quickly after they adjourned. So with that, I'm excited to support this.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
One point you made, while correct, I think may cause some confusion. I believe we have the largest listening audience of any quasi-judicial agency in North Dakota. and a huge part of our listening audience might be confused, since you brought up the fact that Larimore had granted a franchise, and what about our villa? I'm sure they're wondering, at least those that don't live in Grand Forks County or nearby. Well, of course, our villa is an unincorporated city, so there would be no franchise. And then this just sort of reminds me of the old game licensing days. And I don't remember, it might have been Dave that told me one time that Our villa was actually originally an orange, like the fruit. But then they renamed it after our villa Estella Hersey, the wife of the farmer.
And why was she famous? Did she like oranges?
I don't think it had to do with oranges. I think they just really appreciated it. Decided to name the community after her.
The things you learn at a commission meeting.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Randy, for always filling in the gaps, the massive gaps that I leave in my presentations. Oh, they were almost as big as the gaps that the UND line created for the Indians for their alignment to run through the.
You mean like that first play? Just
yes,
history.
Exactly.
Running for turn 100 yards. Big gap.
Huge gap. All right, my last order. I move the commission adopt the order in Dakota Natural Gas LLC, Natural Gas Pipeline, Larimore and Arvilla, North Dakota Tariff, case number PU-23-301.
Second.
Okay, this is, so this basically is the in tandem with the previous order on the public convenience and necessity. So they had to get that in order to receive approval to operate in that area. This basically takes their existing tariffs, which they have on file with the commission, and updates that those tariffs to add Larimore and Arvilla and to create a new tariff for Larimore and Arvilla, which takes into account the cost of service for those areas. So basically, that's what we considered in this, and this order approves the tariff changes.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Okay, so just a couple of announcements here, a few announcements. We had an Energy Development and Transmission Committee meeting scheduled for 1 o'clock. That was a joint meeting with us and the Legislative Energy Development and Transmission Committee. That, of course, is canceled with the legislative session going on. Our next meeting is November 8th, so back onto the regular Wednesday, 10 o'clock schedule. And then I do want to point out that the next one after that is going to be a 3-week gap. So the next one after that is November 29th. That's the week following Thanksgiving. So just so everyone is aware of that. I have no other announcements, so we will have a little break, in which time we'll take some questions from the press. But at this point, and then we'll follow that with the administrative portion of our meeting. But for now, this meeting will stand in recess.